Good morning. I'm excited to share with you this morning from God's Word, just from out of my own heart, what I've been blessed with. Lord, thank you for your goodness, O God. And Lord, I must say I'm again and again convicted of the way you lived your life. And I don't know. I simply don't know, Lord, sometimes why don't I allow myself to be more humbled at this mind, this attitude that was in you would be within me, within my brothers and sisters, Lord, within those that proclaim your name, oh God. And I trust that's all of our desires this morning. We ask you as you speak forth your word, Lord, may breed life and light and encouragement in our lives this day again. And I give you my lips. Lord, you take control for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name, amen. You know, we live in a day and age today where it's everyone is fighting, or seems to be fighting, and if not everyone, most everyone is fighting for their rights. And it's so, especially so, I find it especially so, coming from a different country, I find it more that I have to tread more carefully because of the repercussions or what could come about if I don't, in the sense that you could be sued. Today, it's politically right for you to go ahead and sue someone that violated what you would consider your rights. And others would look at it as your rights too. The statistic shows that one out of every American, now did that mean Canada too? I'm not sure, but one out of every American would sometime or the other, in some particular time or the other in life, will be in a lawsuit. They would be in a lawsuit in somewhere or the other. And one man put it this way. He said, we lived in a suit crazed world, society, today, where people are getting sued, what we would say, left and right. And we stop and think, well, have we ever heard about somebody that gave up their rights for somebody who didn't deserve it? You ever heard of somebody like that? Who gave up their rights for someone who didn't deserve it? Jesus, that's right. You know, this past week, I believe it was this past week, being in the courthouse there a little, you know, and you watched how people operate and how the way they do things, and you're like, man, you know, they're violating this rights, or this isn't right, or, you know, just that, those thoughts that comes rushing through your mind as you watch how they operate. And it amazed me. Stop and look at the life of Christ and how he gave up his rights to those, so that those who don't deserve it could be blessed. Today it's my privilege to rehearse and share with you a little of that someone. I said a little because I believe I only know a little. And that's Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. I heard, you know, we hear various expositions on this paragraph here of 5 to 11, Philippians chapter 2, of this incarnation of Christ and His condescension and coming down the planet Earth and how this all took place. And I heard one man shared on that Jesus gave up His rights. You know, and I had to stop and think, yeah. Yeah, He sure did. He sure did. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had in your relationship with one another. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And I like this one. Said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed, this is 5 and 6, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. Now this is one of the strongest portion of Scripture that we could find in the entire Bible that shows us about the deity of Christ. God, the Son, His incarnation, Him coming down to planet Earth to be a man. And in doing so, we see here, as we look at 5 and 6, that He gave up the right to live like God. Jesus Christ, He had equal rights with God the Father, yet He was willing to give up those rights. He laid aside, it tells us, He laid aside His privileges, having lived in the splendor of the heavenlies, being treated and served the way God would, and God should, and God deserved. And Jesus Christ gave that up. He gave up that. He laid it aside as He was about to perform this mission, this great mission that He was on. And He tells us here, I want to maybe back up here a bit. He said, let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be in you. Let this mindset, allow it. Let means to allow, open up. And not just now, but continually. Allow this mindset of Christ, this attitude of Christ, to be in us. And that's what I want to share with you this morning a little bit. I want to focus on the mindset, this attitude of Christ, by pointing out to you various rights that He laid down and was an example to us and a pattern for which we could live by. You think about it, that He would give up these rights, being equal with God as the Son, God the Son, being equal with God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, come down the earth. And if you'd ever heard of a riches to rags story, this is one. This is one. This is the ultimate one. Now, can you think of it? This is farther than North Pole, South Pole. Of a riches to rags story. We hear many rags to riches story. And we periodically would hear stories of riches to rags. But this is the ultimate one here. You'll never hear another story, read another story in the history of time as ultimate as this one. Christ leaving the splendors of heaven, served by the angelic host, worshipped by the created beings in the splendor of heaven. He laid aside those privileges as he was coming down. He gave up this right. This was done perpetually. And in heaven, I had to stop and think as I look at it, would I do such a thing? Like, would I actually have such a mindset and an attitude? And this is why it said, let this attitude be in you, right? Because out of our attitude flows our actions. So it's trying to come back way inside us and said, let this attitude, allow this attitude of Christ. Would you be willing to be Christ-minded? Would you be willing to allow this attitude in you? That's the encouragement Paul was giving to the Philippians here. This was one of the first church he established in Europe. And depending on, I mean, it varies from one theologian to the other and where they would place the book of Philippians, but it seems to be more to the end of his life that he wrote this book. So I do believe he had a bit of an experience under his belt as he was sharing this. Allow this attitude to be in you. Give way for it to be a part of you. We think about it. Couldn't he have arranged it to have more of a kingly condescension? Maybe a more kingly way in which this incarnation would happen. Maybe the line he would come from would be very popular. The family line would be just all nice and clean, so to speak, people. And we look at in Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew writing to the Jews, and and saying, you know, and just showing us, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit as he penned this, and sharing with us how the genealogy of Christ and how he was coming down. And he mentioned there the four women, which in the Jewish culture back then wasn't too big on that, right? It was men was the big thing. And how it mentioned here in Matthew 1, Tamar, in verse 3, Tamar and Judah had this child named Phares. And this came about through an ancestral relationship, right? Judah was the father-in-law of Tamar. Tamar had married one of Judah's son. And later on, Tamar had a son for Judah. This is the same line Jesus was coming down through. He didn't say, well, I'll put this aside. These guys, they messed up here. You know, I don't want this kind of background, so to speak. I don't want this in my genealogy. No. He was coming down to identify with fallen man. Can you imagine a king? Now, if you and I would be able and would have such a power to choose how we could orchestrate this whole thing, we would say, well, I have the right to put it this way because I'm a king. And Jesus laid aside that right to live like God. And then in verse 5, it tells us here, Rahab, mention another woman's name here. Now these men, some of these men were messed up too, if you didn't know. Yes. But Rahab was the known prostitute, the known harlot of Jericho, the wicked city. So wicked that when God sent them over to destroy it, he said, clean it out. He was very specific. Only this you could bring back. Burn up the rest. Well, she was an outsider, so to speak, right? as they looked at it in the Old Testament. But not only that, and a prostitute. But Jesus saw that and he said, no, I'm going to identify with them. I'm coming right down through that lineage. This is the king, right? I'm just trying to show you the humility of Christ. And he said, that's just fine. I could identify with them. I'm coming down through them to reach man. And the same today. No matter how messed up our background could be, how messed up a life I had, Jesus want to use that to still reach man today. He want to come down through you today to still reach man. And Ruth was a Moabite, and the Moabites that would have never came out if Ruth didn't had a child for her own father. And I could remember sometime as I read that, I'm thinking, now why would Matthew even put these names in there and bring up these stories so that you would search the background of these people and Jesus would be more exposed? Hey, this is just showing you, if I could say it for the lack of words, the big heart that Jesus has. God the Son had. And he laid aside his rights to live like God. And then you had Bathsheba there, which tells us here was the wife of Uriah, and David stole another man's wife. And we might look at it and say, well, Jesus chose a shameful line. Didn't bother him one bit to come down through that line. He was coming down to reach man. He laid aside. This is just showing you the humility of our Lord. He allowed his incarnation to land him on straws also. Now, we might could more begin to process this one a little bit better too, right? He could line up which five-star hotel or five-star hospital he's going to be born with, surrounded by the greatest, finest of doctors, most elite of that time, where the room is all ready and painted at the crib over here and the change table there. And when you walk in the room, you go, wow, this is ready. This is ready for the king. And Jesus be like, yeah, that's where I want to lay my head. That's where I want to be born. If any man had the power to choose that walk on planet Earth, how he could arrange all these things was Christ, God the Son. And he laid aside that. He landed on straw. He didn't hear no chime. You know these little things we put over the baby crib? I remember it. You know, I wind it up, and then I go do something. And whenever I hear the baby crying, I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to go wind it up again. So I wind it up again. His chime was the cows and the donkeys, and I don't know what all animals was in there. Talk about the aroma that was in that place. And we think today, we have a mindset where we think, my right, I deserve better than that. I deserve better than that. Jesus Christ, he gave up the right to live like God. He was born to peasants. He was born to peasants. And, you know, think about it. If you and I would be able to beforehand choose some of these things, especially I'm speaking at this specific era right now, how would you have written it out as you put in your order? Born in I don't know if you would say Grand River. Maybe you'd find something better than that. Maybe St. Mary's Hospital. Maybe you would choose Germany. Better doctors. Wherever, right? And you would choose that and which... Yeah. How you would live. To the family you would want to be born from. Maybe you could think of a name. Perhaps. But Jesus Christ, He laid aside that right to live like God as He came down to reach us. Laid aside His privileges. Excuse me. Said verse 7, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ laid aside the right to act like God. Now hear me out on this one. Theologians, they call this the kenosis of Christ. You ever heard of that? The kenosis? You got a group that sings that call themselves the kenosis. But the kenosis of Christ means to, when He said He emptied Himself, the Greek word there is kono, which the verb would be to empty one's hands. So, you know, when we think about a right, we think about something it is ours. This is mine to use on my behalf at my own convenience. And Jesus laid aside that right to act like God on behalf of His own convenience. He said it. He emptied His hands. This is a very graphic, you would say, expression. As you look at that in the Greek of it being kono, and the verb, action verb meaning kenosis, or kenosis, which means the empty of one hand. This is what Jesus did. And what you would say, well, what did He empty His hands of? Did He empty His hands of deity? Was He just a good, smart teacher? No, Jesus was fully God. And at the same time, fully man. And I could only explain a little bit of that. Try to explain only a little bit of that to you. He did not hold on. You think about it, as He came down the planet Earth, He could have crashed His way through history. Didn't He have the right? Wouldn't we say He had total right to just crash His way through history? Anybody didn't treat Him the right way on a certain day? You're finished. You're over. No, that wasn't our Lord. He could have been out one day in the boat with the disciples and He didn't appreciate the weather and He could have changed the weather. We hear nothing of that, that He did anything like that to His own convenience, His own personal convenience, to His own benefit. He didn't do that. But didn't He have the right? He's God the Son. He sure did. He had the right. He laid that aside. He gave it up. Do we have this mindset in us? Are we allowing this mindset in our lives? It transforms us. He could have let the birds come and feed Him every day. Think of what He could have done for the family business. The carpenter's shop. I mean, think of what we want Him to do for our business. Right? And then that shows us who we are. What we would like to see Him do on our behalf, financially. Alright? Think of what we would like. can you put these and this and such ducks in a row here for us, Lord? And he could have. Does he make those yokes and hoes and I don't know what all he was making in there. And he sweated. You think he did a half-hearted job? I don't believe so. I think he worked with his might. He allowed himself to be limited down to this humanity that we live in and operate within that limitation too. This is his humility. He never displayed miraculous power for his purpose, for his convenience, on his behalf. We don't read about it. We don't see that attitude in him. Tells us that he was a bondservant, which is, you know, if you look at that closely with being a bondservant, what that means back in that time was someone that didn't know anything. Didn't know anything, didn't own anything. He had to rely on others many times in his life. You ever stop to think and look at it that Jesus borrowed a place to be born in? He borrowed that place to be born in. He borrowed this garden that he many times spent his time in. You know, we would say, Lord, this would be good. You know, I really need to find, I like this quiet place. Can we purchase it? You know, give us the money so we could purchase this quiet place over here. You know, this would be like my little closet where I could connect with you, oh God. And Jesus borrowed that place. One place he said, Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't own his own house. He borrowed the boat. Now we would say, now this would be legitimate. This would be just right. This wouldn't be out of the ordinary for us to purchase a boat. Like we need this for ministry, right? I'm just saying how we think, right? We would say we need it for ministry. Jesus borrowed boats when he went on his trips. He borrowed the boat as he sailed across the lake, the sea. He borrowed that upper room where him and his disciples could meet. Even the last piece of clothing he wore was something that was given to him. And then we know he temporarily borrowed a tomb. And we say amen to that because we know he's risen, right? Just borrowed it. Hey, I'm going to clock in here for 3 days. That's okay. He borrowed that and then he's out. Because he's risen. Here's the point I'm trying to bring up about is he's the only person that ever walked the face of the earth that had the right to have anything he wanted. Yet he never took advantage of that. He never took advantage of that. That special claim. He emptied his hands and gave up the right to live like God, to act like God. The last part of verse 7 there saying, being in the likeness of man. We don't maybe think about this part too much sometimes. From time to time we do. But he gave up the right to look like God. You'll be like, what? Yeah. He gave up the right to look like God. Before his incarnation, Jesus was clothed with divine splendor that would have been invisible to the human eyes as God the Father is. And God the Spirit. And Jesus allowed, which it tells us in Colossians 1, Jesus is the embodiment of the what we call the triune God. Right? He took upon him this physical body. Being inside it, where he had feelings, he was hungry, he was tired, he sweat, he cried, and eventually died, and then rose again. And he needed to take on this flesh, and that purpose of that was to die, to be that perfect sacrifice in which God had intended for us to be reconciled back to Him. And we think about Jesus becoming a man. Now listen up. When we think about Jesus becoming a man, and Paul said He humbled Himself, and we'd be like, yeah. Like, do you actually, like your jawbone, does it like actually, wow. Like, do you actually go that way? Maybe inside, like, wow. You mean He humbled Himself and became a man? Wow. In sign language, the deaf, for a while, they go, that's a sign they use, right? I like that sign. It's more stronger. It's like, man, out of this world. Do you ever stop? You know why we don't stop? Because we think we're a special species. We could think we got innovations. We're a pretty decent species, you know? So God coming down and humbling Himself to become a man, we just go, well, thank you, Lord. I trust you could today go, wow, when you think about it. And I can't share it deep enough maybe for you to go, wow. But maybe you could think about it deep enough so you could go, wow. And fall on your face and say, man, such an example, such a Lord. For me, from the slums of planet Earth, He laid aside His splendor, this glory He lived in from eternity past with God the Father and God the Spirit to come down to reach me. He gave up this right. You ever, like, just for instance, I was trying to think which animal I could actually use. What would actually be maybe a good enough analogy, and I can't quite find one. But let's say maybe a monkey or a snake. Or maybe a frog. They're going to destroy all the frogs of the world. And God looks at you and says, which one of you would be willing to become a frog so you could go down and save all the frogs? And then, and not just today and then you save them tomorrow, but live down there for like 33 years. Rabbit. And you'd be like, I'm becoming a frog? Like going down that low? You see a gap there? There's a gap there, right? With how we look at ourselves and what a frog is or a snake or a monkey or... Maybe some of us would do it for dogs because they're dog lovers, right? But you see that gap? The gap between us and God is bigger than that. With His splendor to earth, the rags of earth. And Jesus Christ said, I'm willing. And we know with that analogy that doesn't quite do justice in the sense that we aren't necessarily made in the image of frog, right? We're made in the image of God. And so maybe we would say that gave God a little bit more upper hand on us to come down. Hey, there's a huge gap there. Put it that way. This is what God the Son did for us when He became man. Humble Himself, live, and die, so that those who would listen to His message, they could one day come, be with Him. They could be saved. They could be saved from the wrath to come. He had the right to choose how he looked. All right, I said Jesus Christ gave up the right to look like God. There's only one portion of scripture or text in the Bible that actually would kind of draw out a bit of his physical appearance, which we find in Isaiah 53. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the parched ground. Say he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should be attracted to him. He had a stately form. He was an ordinary blowjo. He was an ordinary man, Jewish man. He didn't have this. Can you think about it? Especially ladies. If you had the opportunity to choose how you would look, would there be a few things you would change? Maybe you might say today, well, I've learned to accept it, so no, I wouldn't change it today. Was there any point in your life where you would have, if you had the opportunity to change it, what would you do? What would you change it to be like? What would you look like? A man, you know? Big biceps. I don't know where you're at, right? We might say there's at least one thing that we probably might change. Maybe the shape of my teeth or the color of my teeth, or I don't know. Have more of a 20/20 vision with bright eyes so I could see better. Jesus had all these rights. He gave it up, become a bond servant, borrowed stuff from a poor family line, didn't have no appearance that when he was coming through town, as you watch some of these kings of the world, these even rich men of the world, right? Man, you go, wow. Some of the things they drive or the place they live, we go like, wow. Jesus, he had that right, and he gave it up, and he said, my call to you is to let this mind be in you too. Let this mind be in you. You're willing? Would you be willing to just think about whatever you own today, you and I own today? Would you be actually willing to even give that up for someone as equal as you, so to speak? Would you be willing to give that all up? And we hear of people where they live, have a good job, good house, what we would say, you know, things in life, and we would say things would be going well for them, so to speak. They give it all up, they take off, and they go to maybe the slums of India or Africa, over to Haiti, or various countries in the world. Right? We're like, man. What Christ called to all of us is to have that mindset, that attitude in all of our hearts. That I'm willing to give up what I have, Lord. I'm willing to give up what I have. It's yours. Don't you see this is the example that Christ left for us? That's what I'm trying to bring out. I'm pointing to Christ here at his example. He said, let this mind be in you. And he was so ordinary. In Mark, in various parts of the gospel, you find it when he said, I am the Christ. People would be like, what? Says who? Like, you, the Christ? Like, no way. Like, there's no way. I mean, you? Yeah. That was the response. At one place, they thought he was losing his mind. His brothers and sisters and even the mom, they're, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus was proclaiming he's God, the Son of God, and he's teaching the people, and Not even his brothers first believed in him. And they called Jesus. Jesus said, no, these are my mothers, my brothers here, the ones who do my will. They thought, he's losing it now. He's losing it. He's claiming to be God. He gave up that right to look like God. In such a way that ultimately they even crucified him. And I oftentimes think about it. I probably would have said, no, I'm not sure about this guy. I'm not sure about this guy. He was a real rascal. He was going upstream big time with the main flow of that day. Right? And I think about how easy it is for us just to go with the main flow. And then somebody step in and they're going upstream and we'd be like, wrong way. And ultimately they crucified him, they reject him. God in the flesh. There was a few humble hearts that received him. And in verse 8, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He gave up the right to be treated like God. And isn't that our big one? Isn't that our big one? Our big right? To be treated as we feel like we deserve to? To be treated as we feel like there's the right to? I mean, like, come on, show more honor here and show more gratitudeness, or you have some respect, or yeah. Those are the things that come up inside of us. This mindset, this attitude. And Jesus, he gave that up even to the point to die on a cross, a cruel death. The Persians, they invented it, and the Romans, they perfected it. Some people, they designed it to be so cruel that people would survive even for a few days sometimes on the cross. And then eventually they'd break their legs so that they would die of what they call asphyxiation. Asphyxiation is suffocating. You die from suffocation where you can't breathe, right? The lungs would collapse. Because they had that little thing there where they push up, and they take a breath, they hold themselves up there and breathe, and then they go down until they choke again and break the leg, and then he can't. So, and then he would die of asphyxiation. Some. But Jesus laid down his life. He didn't die of asphyxiation. At least my personal opinion is in there. He gave up. I tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus never stood up for his rights. He gave up the right for a fair trial. We would pull in the lawyers and we would say, no, no. We would put up the defense so strong to be understood. Well, hear my side of the story. Jesus gave up the right to be treated like God. You know, so many times you find that in marriage life, with a spouse, those of you that are married, you know, we want our spouse to hear our side of the story. Like, I mean, no. This is what I actually did. This is what you saw, but this is what I actually did, you know. And did you hear? Can you find that anyway in Scripture where Jesus displayed this kind of attitude? And then his call to us is, here's the standard to live by. Let this attitude be in you. And I'm like, wow. So many times, you know, I want to be understood. I mean, this is your perception, but here is how I this is what was in my heart. And then I, you know, we try to share our side of it. And Jesus Christ gave up that right. He gave up that right. And I'm like, man, this is a big one. Yeah. You mean you just think about it, the many people that had been sued because they felt like somebody violated my rights. So, your pants is going off, buddy. It's going to get sued off. And sure it is. Politically, today, it is okay. It's totally fine. You think about it, the Son of God gave up His rights and He allowed Himself to be treated in a way He didn't deserve. He gave up the rights to live, act, look, and be treated like God. And we might say, why? Why? Why would He do such a thing? Like, well, what's on His agenda? I mean, what is it to be gained through it? Well, it said in John 1:12, but as many as received them, to them gave He power. One version said, to them gave He the right to become the Son of God. So, what? He gave up His right so you could lay a hold of the right of becoming a part of His kingdom. To become a part of His glory. Now, you talk about an extreme there again of someone giving up his right to someone who doesn't deserve it. Jesus did that, brothers and sisters, for you and I. He did that for you and I. Second Corinthians and verse 8. Second Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye through poverty might be rich. Can you think about it? What Jesus done for you and I? That's what we call amazing grace. He left heaven for earth so that one day we could leave earth for heaven. He gave up the riches of heaven to come down to the rags of earth so that we could one day from the rags of earth go to the riches of heaven. And when I say heaven, I mean in His presence. New Jerusalem. And we might stop, and oftentimes we do this, we stop when we hear about the life of Christ. And as someone share, maybe a line or two, might really sink in our hearts, and we go, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that for me. And we would thank Him and show a heart of gratitudeness to Him. And the next moment, we're not allowing that attitude to truly download and process inside of us. That's the call. He said, let now and present tense and continually let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be in you. Our Lord and our Master gave up all. He became poor so that we might become rich. Maybe you're here today and you never really gave your life to Him. You had never really received this man that gave His life for you. That left the splendor of glory to come down to pay a price on your behalf, laying aside His rights as He came. He paid the bill for you, but it could only be activated as He gave you the free choice, will to choose, to accept His call and respond to His call. It's then it gets activated, that payment that He made for you. Then it gets activated on your behalf, so to speak. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to do so. Lay hold of that right to call upon His name. And that right that He's offering you to become a son, a daughter of the King. Would you acknowledge Him today? As He goes on to read verse 9, He said, "For this reason also," Philippians 2, "God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name." Period. So that at the name of Jesus, every, A-L-L, knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue, He said, every tongue, every mouth, lips, every person will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This day is coming. There's no if, buts, or maybe. It is coming. But the choice is up to you and I to choose. Your first confession is going to be that day, or continually, perpetually, as you live here now on this side of eternity. And my encouragement, my plea this morning is to, if you don't know Him, come to know Him. Come to know Jesus. Exercise your rights today. Respond to His call. Call upon Him. May the Lord bless.